VentureCast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the next edition of MTP. I am Hollywood Rayshon Buchanan. It's been a while. I'm glad to be back on here. Miss you guys. Definitely miss my guy, Money Mike. This is your first time listening to us. Hit that subscribe button, whether it be on YouTube, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. We appreciate you listening. Spread that word. That is the best way for us to grow. So, Mike, how are you doing this afternoon? Right. It's late. This evening. How are you?
It's almost past my bedtime, man, but I'm doing good. I missed you, my friend. It's been far too long, but it feels like if there was ever a week to get the band back together, it had to be this week, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I'm glad to be back on tour, so to speak. So what a way to end the NFL season. It's going to be different. I feel like this show was always different during NFL season because we get the best of everybody during the time, whether things are good or bad. And, you know, we think certain things are going to happen. You know, we make certain predictions and, you know, it brought us all to this. For the third time in the last five seasons, the Kansas City Chiefs have become the newest NFL dynasty. And once again, that's not up for debate. So, just, you know, your thoughts about the game and then just, you know, what category do you put Patrick Mahomes in now?
Yeah, so my thought to the game, this felt a lot like, to put it in, you know, like regional terms, this felt a lot like the Carolina Panthers, you know, the Patriots Super Bowl from 03, right? It was pretty low scoring in the first half. And then, you know, the genie got out of that fucking bottle in the second half. I thought that the 49ers played a really good game. I thought that that their defensive scheme was great. It hadn't Mahomes confused for a while. I mean, obviously he threw a pick. I think fundamentally that if the 49ers had played this way and done exactly the same things against any other team in the NFL, they would have won the Super Bowl.
Right.
But they just happened to be playing against, you know, arguably the GOAT of the 2020s now. Right. And he solidified himself as that in the last 6 years. I mean, the kid's been in the league for 6 years. Has never, ever, ever not played in an AFC title game, and has gone to four Super Bowls in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
What other level could he be on? You know, there are friends of ours that say that we want the smoke. Mahomes wants all of it, and he can do anything he wants to do on that field. He keeps his team in a position where they're not out of it. And then he just turns it on just like someone else we know. And all of a sudden it's, you know, 25-22 Chiefs. It was wild.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I just feel like blowing 10 point leads and San Fran just goes together. Or just goes together with Kyle Shanahan, right? Obviously, we saw what happened when he was in Atlanta as OC. Obviously, the two times that he's been there as the head coach for San Fran. But, you know, before we get into that and just what his role was in that loss, I should have specified or clarified what I meant. So yes, it is without a shadow of a doubt that finally and trust me, fans are gonna listen to us. We'll get into that at some other point. But without what I just said, but I meant to talk about just really. Where do we put him in? And you know, historically, right? Because it's no debate that he's the GOAT of this era. Like it's not up for debate. But I've seen people say it's, you know, Tom, Peyton, then him, or Tom, him, then Joe, Tom, or Tom Mahomes, then Manning, whatever it may be. So, just has he usurped Manning? Has he passed Joe Montana?
Yeah, oh. Oh, yeah. I mean, some people, you
say it emphatically, but, you know, some people still will say that, you know, Joe is number one. And I'm just like, well, like, I don't know how that's being said when, once again, a lot of you that are listening to this now, a lot of you that was on social media on February 5th, 2017, you had given the stamp to Thomas Edward Patrick Brady II. To me, Pat can't be number one. A lot of people are saying that Pat's number one now. And once again, I receive bias is always something that's real. I get that. I just don't know how you could say, I think he's definitely number two. I think that he's already cemented himself as number two for sure. And then just the more he climbs,
yeah,
he may be number one. But right now, he's easily number two.
Well, so in my opinion right now, if we were to rank the top five quarterbacks of all time, I, the way that I would do that is by championships, right? Like, I think you have to. You have to. And then it's about how they stacked up in those games. So right now, it's Brady number one, it's Montana number two, and it's Mahomes number three. I would say Montana is still number two because he went 4-0 in Super Bowls, right? So and he has four. But I always used to hate that argument of, you know, when won his fourth and he was 4-2 in them. Everyone's like, well, you know, Montana was 4-0. It's like, yeah, but he went to 7 conference championship games. It only made it out of 4. So like I'm not going to penalize people for getting to the Super Bowl and losing if you happen to win 4 as well. Yeah. Right. And I mean, Mahomes did not
lose at all.
Right. Mahomes has been in 4 Super Bowls and he's been down by 10 points or more in all of them. And he's won 3 of them. So like, what else do you want from him? You know, the rest of the NFL, the rest of the quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls have been down by more than 10 points, a combined 4 times. 4. Mm-hmm. Brady's 2 of them.
Right. Exactly. But so do you hold the record against Brady against him? If he gets to that point, do you hold the 0-2 against him? You know, it was early in his career.
0-2.
I'm saying when it lost an AFC Championship game and then he smacked them in the Super Bowl. They didn't even get 10 points.
Yeah. Oh, you mean
the, like, so, that matters, listen, to me. I'm sorry.
If Mahomes retires, let's just say he retires in 10 years or 12 years, whatever it might be, right? 40 years old, and he has 6 Super Bowl championships. It's still definitive that Brady is the greatest of all time, because the reason that Mahomes doesn't have 7 is because Brady beat him.
Right. Yeah. No, facts.
That's it.
Yeah, and that's what I want people to understand. Like, people say, oh, like, you guys are holding on to the Brady thing. And it's like, no, like, we had to definitively wait up here until he beat Atlanta for folks to even think about him passing Montana. And we're saying that he passed Brady yesterday? Like, that bothered me. Once again, he's coming. I can't dispute that. Like, now, like, it's inevitable, right? But I'm like, we cannot say that when he's 40% there, which is wild. He's 40% there. That it's like, okay, well, now he's above everyone else. Is he the best talent we've seen? Probably. Yeah, probably. Yes. But once again, y'all was spewing the same shit about Aaron Rodgers for a while too. Y'all was saying
but the difference was nationally
and on social media, people were screaming about Aaron Rodgers was the best talent they had seen. He has the best arm ever. You name it. They were throwing it out there for Aaron Rodgers. And then, go ahead.
All those things can be true. Like Dan Marino could be one of the most arm talented quarterbacks of all time. He just couldn't win a big game. Like, he just couldn't do it with, by the way, the greatest coach of all time at the time with the most wins. The thing that Mahomes does that's indisputable is that every single one of their wins is because of him. He accounted for 90% of the Chiefs' yards in the second half of that game. I mean, it was him. He was their leading rusher. Obviously, and he threw for 333 yards, something like that. I mean, the man is, I think it's, we can't crown him the GOAT yet, and you shouldn't, right? Because 7's a really fucking tough number. But through his first 6 years, He's outpacing the GOAT.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. The only thing he has on Brady is he's been a league MVP twice already. Like that's where he people forget Brady was 10-0 that first run. He didn't lose until the Giants. Well, no, he lost before that, but he was 10-0 before that Broncos loss.
Yeah.
10-0. Like on the road, at home didn't matter. Like they were beating you. But like that gets forgotten about. So but yeah, but like I said, they have been awesome. And you know, to our producer who thought a few years ago that it'd be all over real soon.
Yeah, this is last year.
Yeah. But even before then, he was saying like it was over. This man's the real deal. And I'm just like, you know, don't edit this part out, Craig, but he's the real deal. I just like saying it's his league for years to come. Like I said, unless something, you know, drastic happens.
What I've been saying to DK over the last couple of weeks in your absence was, because he was like, yeah, I don't really, you know, I understand, I guess, nationally why they're a villain, but, you know, Mike, can you tell me why the Patriots think they're a villain? And here's the thing. We didn't have any time to look back and appreciate the 20-year run that we had, right? Like, yeah, we enjoyed it when we were in it. Obviously, everyone hated us, but there's always typically like that 5 to 8 year gap between generational talents or generational teams. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen this time. It was the Patriots went into Arrowhead and beat Mahomes in this first year as a starter. They won the Super Bowl. They won their 6th Super Bowl in 18 years. And then the very next fucking year, Mahomes wins his, and he's never looked back. Like that, yep. the only one to stop him so is Brady. And so we as a collective fan base didn't have time to get to receive our flowers nationally. Like you always have those moments of reflection. And actually, when you're like, wow, I hated them, but man, they were good, right? Like, it was what a time to be like, we'll never see something like that again. And mm-hmm. we're seeing it now.
Yeah, I'm for sure. Because, I mean, and the guy that comes to mind, I would love to have him on the show, but I do have to call him out because he was singing his praises, and I get why. So the guy I'm talking about is Ryan Clark, right? Ryan Clark has talked about how, you know, I think it was after the AFC Championship game, like he's like, man, you know, Mahomes is the best I've ever seen. And, you know, this guy's this guy's that. And I get it, RC. I get it. When your team was on fire and everyone thought that she was going to win, you never beat 12 when it mattered. Ever. Ever. Like, and not, you know, yeah, they might have got us once, I think, during the regular season. But when it got to the playoffs, and your teammate Anthony Smith thought that he was the guy, and your absence was talking real crazy, and the game was over at halftime. I get it, Ryan, but I'm like, you don't get to dismiss what happened because of what just happened the last few years. You don't get to dismiss that you got your ass whooped on a regular basis. But I get it. Maybe with therapy, maybe you. I don't know. I get it.
You do sound like a bitter. Bitter and
not bitter. I'm not a fan of the recency bias. You can give credit where it's due without shutting down what came before. That's all.
Yeah, but
it's the same thing with the Jordan LeBron thing. Same thing. People, this is what this is becoming. This is becoming Jordan versus LeBron. This is exactly
it isn't. Because in Jordan versus LeBron, Jordan never had the opportunity to smack LeBron out of the playoffs and then beat him in the championship.
Yeah,
Jordan did that.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true.
But also, like Ray, take yourself back to 2004, right? You just won your third Super Bowl in four years. You mean to tell me that you weren't comparing the Patriots and Brady to the 49ers in Montana? Like you yourself didn't have recency bias? Of course we did.
I didn't say that we weren't the new. That's not what I'm saying. We said top of the show, the new dynasty. That's not the. But there was no one in 04 saying he was already better than Joe Montana. That wasn't happening. We didn't get that recognition until they beat Atlanta. That's all I'm saying. Because once again, honestly, this really would have been no debate. Had we beat New York the first time, that they went 18 and they went 19-0, there is no debate. I don't care. That man won 30. The man went 19-0, and that happened. This conversation would be a moot point. It would just be for podcasting, just for sports banter, like that. But because that happened, that window was open. That's why we're still allowed to have this conversation. Because they go 19-0. I mean, yeah, fine, whatever. If you lose the one at 46 or whatever, but if you're in Super 42, if they do what they were supposed to do and finish it, you know, oh God, who? Ellis Hobbs, you know. But I don't blame him. I blame the coaching because there's no way he should have been on there 1-on-1. But that's a whole other thing. But yeah, that's that. But yeah. I don't remember Chris Berman or Tom Jackson or Scott Van Pelt, Stuart Scott, you know, when ESPN was really ESPN. I don't remember those guys getting on there saying, yeah, he surpassed, you know, Montana. It wasn't until they beat Atlanta and they was like, you know what? Damn, got to give it to him. It was holding on to it like this. And then they finally was like, damn, a comeback like this, his second in 3 years again. They've been to 3 straight. What more can we say? Like that's what happened.
It's also worth noting that the first 3 Patriots Super Bowls, right? Like right. Brady, yeah, he led the drive at the end of the first one. And obviously, you know, everything that happened against the Panthers and then the Eagles. But it's pretty fair to say that the emphasis on in that portion of the dynasty was the defense. I mean, that was a All-Pro Hall of Fame defense. Up until this year, there isn't one of Mahomes' Super Bowls that I can say, well, they got there because of the defense, right? Like, he was the reason that they won the other two. And turns out, he was the reason that they won this one, too.
Yeah, but to the defense point, McDuffie, Snead, Chris Jones.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
It's like, them boys really stepped up. And, you know, the secondary really is their strong point, in my opinion. It's funny because I think we're the reason why they got Trent McDuffie. Because we traded down with them. Well, no, I'm saying we're the reason why they got McDuffie because we traded down with them and picked up Cole Strange.
What a great pick.
Like, so, because once again, to think about what it could have been in back to back years. You get McDuffie and then you get Gonzalez. You got actually corners for the next 10 years. Because I totally believe he would have coached them up to be, you know what I'm saying? So, hey. But it's just. It reiterates that I'm fucking gone.
Yeah, it's over. I mean, I think like it's this the win of this, the Chiefs winning this Super Bowl, I think just. Accentuated the point that it's really over for us here in New England. We are at the bottom of the fucking league, and then we have to work our way back up.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, let's just have a magic run happens within the next 2 to 3 years. Which once again, it can be a D'Amico Ryans type turnaround next year. Like that's not out of the realm of possibilities, but there's work that needs to be done.
Well, I mean, I think under the tutelage of Elliot Wolf and Ben McAdoo, I don't think that's going to happen, but we'll talk about them
for sure. Yeah, I mean, the only one that I've seen really talk positive about that pairing, well, not McAdoo, but Elliot Wolf was, I think Kendrick Bourne give some credit to him. So, yeah, there are some guys in the room that I guess are fans, which I hope that KB is back. We don't need to be the number one, but I do hope that he's
Before you go to the next point, I just have one last question about this. Because the crux of will he catch Tom really hinges on, do you think Mahomes has a 10-year gap without Super Bowls? I don't. But if he doesn't, it's not coming now.
So, well, that leads into the question I have before I get into the 49ers side. You know, is there any quarterback in the AFC that can rival him in the future?
Yeah, Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow owns Patrick Mahomes.
So that's what I'm saying.
But he can't stay healthy.
Right, but that's on them getting the line or whatever. But to me, he's the only guy in the AFC that's not afraid at the moment outside of Patrick Mahomes. He's been there. He's been to the Super Bowl himself. He's going to bring a couple back to Cincinnati, in my opinion, if they've helped me. Because once again, but depending on if they keep the roster together, because once again, they may lose Higgins, Obviously, they're going to sign Chase long term. So just can they keep that roster together long enough to be a contender, unless Burrow goes somewhere else in the AFC and does damage. So I don't know. But to me, Joe Burrow is the only guy that could be like the Peyton Manning light to Patrick Mahomes. But, you know, I mean, who knows? Maybe a CJ Stroud eventually. I don't know. But, you know,
it really all depends on how long Andy Reid is the coach, in my opinion. Like, if he's there, if he says he's going to be there the next 4 or 5 years and he's just going to hang it up when he's 70, okay. I think that there's a real chance that they can win 2 or 3 more in the next 5 years. And then...
Well, no, for sure, I think that that's where they're looking. They're for sure looking at what Bill and Tom did. Like, there's no doubt that they're looking at that, right? As they should. That should be the standard. That should be the goal. And, I mean, talk about a character arc or character build. To go to 5 NFC Championship games and only win
4,
one of them.
It was 4 in a row.
Yeah, 4 in a row, 5 overall, because they lost the last one to Arizona in 08, who should have been the champion, but that's another show for another day. That happens, and then, he leaves a few years later, revives Kansas City with Alex Smith to get them back to respectable. You know, you draft Kelsey in the 5th round, you draft Tyreek Hill in the 5th round. You know, before he had this, you brought Kareem Hunt, who was really good for them as a rookie. So they had constantly build. Then you trade with Buffalo for the 10th pick in 2017 to get this guy at Texas A&M, Patrick Mahomes, where Buffalo and others didn't think, we don't really know. And damn, you let him sit for the first year, right, behind Alex Smith, and then bam, he comes in. So once again, you would think NFL teams stop throwing guys out there right away, because everyone's not going to be that guy right away. Once again, Houston lucked into CJ Stroud being really good from day one. Now they have their guy, but everyone's not going to be CJ Stroud. So it really is a crapshoot. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure they go as long as they want. So, I mean, Andy Reid said in the presser, he was like, "Trav keeps me young." I said, yeah, I guess so. When you can take those kind of bumps at 64, whatever how old he is, that's wild. I was ready for the WrestleMania match between him and Travis Kelce, you know.
But also, good for him for not benching him, because we know what would have happened if that happened here. He would have benched him, and the game would have been over. He would have sacrificed another Super Bowl just to better his ego, and Andy Reid didn't do that. Like, it was uncalled for Travis to do what he did. You don't get there's no reason to get in his face like that. I understand that you're mad. I understand that it's the game, and you feel like if you were out there on that running play, maybe you could have delivered a better block. Pacheco doesn't fumble, whatever it might be. But, like, you know, you can be mad without initiating physical contact with a man that's 40 or 30, 32 years older than you. Like, you don't need to do that, number one. Number two, though, I think to your other question that you said, about – will there be another quarterback in the AFC to contend with them moving forward? I think we're now seeing, it feels like right now, so the 2024 Kansas City Chiefs are going to be a lot like the 2003 and 2004 Patriots in the sense that people are going to go and take less money to go there to win a championship. And that's really fucking dangerous for the rest of the league, because they did what they did this year with no real offensive weapon aside from Travis Kelce on the receiving end. And they can go out and get anyone they want now.
But now everybody is coming back more experienced, right? Rasheed Rice will be better because he's still
– Oh, yeah.
You know, we're talking about an off year. The man had 80 catches.
Yeah.
80 catches. I
mean, if he takes the same leap that Romeo Doubs did in Green Bay, then –
Yeah, look out. Look out.
Everyone's still fucked.
Yeah, look out. And then my thing is – they may go get Higgins, or they may go get Pittman Jr.
Can you imagine if they get T. Higgins?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I don't want to imagine, but I mean, man, that would be tough.
It might be dumb. Like, this, we might be living in this dumb land for about 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. But You know, let's transition to the San Francisco side. You know, obviously, you know, this is the second one they've lost in 5 years, or 4 years, I should say, excuse me. You know, is this solely on Kyle Shanahan for you, or, you know, who else do you put the blame on the loss for San Fran?
Yeah, so I said it last week with DK that the person in this game that had the most to lose was Kyle Shanahan, right? Mm-hmm. Because Andy Reid didn't win this year, but it was his fourth in 5 years, whatever. Mahomes, same thing. Brock Purdy, if he couldn't beat Mahomes, same thing. But if Kyle Shanahan gets his best record and, you know, an NFC team to the Super Bowl again and chokes, what does it say about him? And I think it says that in nut crunching time, his philosophy and his scheme, it's not amendable, and he doesn't change enough to win the game. He does. The way that I look at him is if you know that he has a game plan coming into the game, you can almost count on the fact that he's not going to change it no matter what. It does not fucking matter what happens over the course of that game. Everything is going to go to the script. And he's been exposed now three Super Bowls that he has appeared in. His team has had a 25 point lead, a 10 point lead, and a 10 point lead, and he's 0-3.
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, it's really wild to me, because I'm just like, it's so, and I said this to my friend earlier in our group chat. I said, man, it's almost like they couldn't believe what they were doing was working. So they was like, we gotta do something different, because it's just like, I can't believe it's working. Like, they're going to figure us out at some point. And it's just like, no, like, you have the best running back in football. And once again, I know how on this show collectively, outside of me, how we hate that position here.
By the way, proved right again in this game.
No, but it's because of the coach. Like, the McCaffrey did everything he was supposed to do. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the man had 80 on the ground, 80 through receiving. Like, he did what he was supposed to do.
And yeah, because he averaged less than 4 yards a carry, dude, as a running back in the Super Bowl.
Sure, but I'm like, he's to get almost 200 yards scrimmage or from scrimmage. And the Super Bowl is that's a great game. Anybody else would be like, oh, that's awesome. So it's just like, I don't know, man. To me, they went away from what was working, and it just goes back to Kyle Shanahan trying to be cute when it comes to play calling. It's like, dude, keep giving the ball to 23, whether it's on the ground, whether you're running the Madden play, which is the angle route, or you want to give the wheel route to him, like whatever you're looking to do. Give that to him. So I don't know. I'm just sick of hearing about how his tree is the tree and everybody's trying to grab from them. And the only one that's won is McVay. Everyone else is flopped. So I'm tired of hearing that.
But I mean, it is fair to say, though,
good coach. But I'm just like, you're not going to, like, it's going to be a while before he gets anything. We're not going to care by the time that he wins, if that's the case.
But just to be clear, like, 5 out of the last 7 years, the NFC coaches have been from the Shanahan coaching tree. So, like, they get you there.
The last one is McVay.
Yeah. So, like, in my opinion,
it's
like having a running back as your best player. It will get you there, but it will never be the reason why you win. Ever. Ever. And also, remember, well,
and in this era, because that's there's Kate,
yeah, and since, like, I would say since 99 and on, okay. But also, we're a muffed punt away from saying that the 49ers are champions. And trust me,
then the year that when they lost in the first time, it was fingertips from Emmanuel Sanders. Jimmy threw the best ball probably his fucking career, and it missed it. You know, in the words of Get Smart, it missed him by that much. It missed him by that much. And I was like, wow. I was like, where was that throw, Jimmy, when you were? But I was like, wow. But he missed him. And then next thing you know, and I love their announcer. I forget the guy's name over there, but touchdown Kansas City. Like, it was over, and it was just like, wow. Okay. This is what we're doing. So, yeah, I don't know. I just, to me, got too cute. They got too cute on defense, too. Steve Wilks almost got his way back into a head coaching job the way he was, you know, dialing up them plays in the first half.
Yeah.
And then he also too, damn, this is actually working. This is too good to be true.
But also the pass rush of the Chiefs stepped it up in the second half. And it looked like the offensive line of the 49ers, like they were gassed towards the end. I mean, he had Jennings in the end zone. But he had Chris Jones in his esophagus in two seconds. Like, what do you want him to do? I think
Tebow would have scored on that cover zero.
Yeah.
And that's a fact. That's a fact that we've seen it. Tebow would have scored on that cover zero because he did to win a playoff game. So figure it out, Brock.
It's, you know, I think we're one more year away from this happening before people make a decision as to whether they want to keep going with Kyle Shanahan. Do you want to win a ton of games?
I think it's now.
Because he's at the risk of kind of being like Mike McCarthy is, right? And like Andy Reid was in Philly. At least Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl. I know. But he's winning a shit ton of games. He's even getting the team to the conference title game and the champion and the Super Bowl. But he just can't do it. But I want to say again, repeat what I said at the beginning of the show. If they were playing any other team, if they're up 10-3 or whatever the fuck they were, 10-6 in the third quarter, and it's against Lamar, is there any doubt in your mind that Lamar is going to lose that game? No. He doesn't have Mahomes. It's Mahomes. He was the reason.
Yeah. It would be cool if he Lamar as our friend, though. On a side note, that'd be pretty cool. Oh, that's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, I mean, because someone would like have to win.
Yeah, right? That's exactly in that case. But no, but you kind of touched on it a few moments ago. But so is Shanahan Andy Reid in Philly right now? Is that where he's at in his character story right now? Is he Andy Reid in Philly?
I think he's knocking at the door,
but not can't get in.
Well, I think he's better than Andy Reid because he's got to two. Right. And he just happened to go against the one team that no matter what if you're going to, you know, there were 95 plays in the game and they had five bad ones. And in order to beat, you know, Patrick Mahomes, you need to have no bad ones. Andy Reid in Philly, if he in 2004, if the Patriots didn't make it to that Super Bowl and they were playing against, it would have been the Steelers. Philly would have beat them. Philly would have won that game. I mean, it all looked like Philly was going to win that game, right? You know, even with McNabb fucking vomiting in the huddle, looking like Shane Falco, and we had T.O. playing on a broken foot, and he played out of his fucking mind. Like, the arc was there to say, oh, Philly's going to overcome it. But they happened to run into the only team that you can't buck up against, just like Kyle Shanahan is.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and I mean that's fair, and it's I don't know, but maybe they gotta go get their TO, which is ironic because he was there, but maybe they gotta go get their TO. Top of San Francisco, go get a guy.
Who else?
I don't
know. Who are you gonna put on that offense that isn't already better than what they have?
They don't have a guy that takes the top off the defense, though. They're all yak guys. They need a guy that says, okay, I'm just going to go and just whatever, just try to stop me. But they're all about yak. That's the problem. That's part of the problem, I should say. You know? And also, too, Debo can't stay healthy.
So, right.
So, and I know Patriot fans, it seems like, oh, we should have had Debo, but we'd have been pissed off for Debo had he been here for a few years. Play well during the regular season, and then all of a sudden gets hurt. And I want you to know who would have been the number one guy getting on his case. He's on the screen, and it's Michael Marcangelo.
Yeah, that's
he fucking blows. He only wants to do something in the regular season, and then he chokes in the pool. So I'm telling you, because I would have been on there agreeing with him. So
that's purely speculative. We have no way of proving it, but you're probably right.
Yeah. Well, no, with other players that have come through here and don't do anything, we get on. So we have plenty of proof. check, you know, check, men lie, women lie, tape don't lie.
That's true.
You know, so it's unfortunate, but that's the case. So, yeah. So I want to talk about a guy that was here previously, who now has a wonderful podcast called either Funky Friday or Freaky, no, Funky Fridays with Cam Newton. So was Cam Newton right now? Was he proven right with this game manager quote about Brock Purdy? Or was he still out of bounds about that? Because you think Brock had a good game, even in the loss?
Let me just say this, okay? The whole game manager thing, we've been talking about this the last couple of weeks because somewhere along the way, it became like a negative connotation. Here's the thing. I'm just going to ask you, before I answer this question, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked TK last week.
Mm.
Brock Purdy was taken number 20 overall in the first round of the draft. Would you be calling him a game manager?
If he was taken 28th overall?
20th. Like if he was in the first round, not top 10.
So Kenny Pickett, sure, because Kenny Pickett, that's what Kenny Pickett is. Same thing.
You're comparing like Kenny Pickett to Brock Purdy.
He's not. I think that he's really good because what's around him. There's a reason why he went 252nd overall, or 62, whatever we went overall.
Why did Brady go 199?
Lack of athleticism. I mean, you know, Mel Kiper tells you all. Lack of athleticism, fifth year senior. I don't know. But like I say, he worked his ass off to get to be where he was. I don't know why he went with 99th. Because I mean, my God, Giovanni Carmazzi, you kidding me?
Brock Purdy has played two NFL seasons so far and has gotten his team to the NFC Championship game at least in both and one time the Super Bowl. In this game, I would argue, although you've already said that Christian McCaffrey was great, that Brock Purdy was the best player in the offense for the San Francisco 49ers. And I don't think it's close. I think, you know, 23 of 38, I think, you know, his yards were like 250, but.
Yeah, 205, yeah. No, I mean, he didn't make any big mistakes, so I'll give him credit for that.
He didn't make any mistakes. No picks. His one sack, he lost 4 yards against a top five defense in the league.
Do you trust his arm talent, though?
His arm talent? Yeah. Brock Purdy led the NFL this year in yards per attempt. That means...
Right, because all those guys...
No. How they measure that is how far you throw it and it's caught. Not the completion, per attempt. 8.6 yards per attempt. Led the league.
Well, Kansas City came on and said... No, I'm saying to that rebuttal. Kansas City came on and said, we wanted Brock to throw the ball. So what does that tell you?
What does that tell you? That they again, were. Yeah, well,
right.
If you
respect him, you don't want him to throw the ball. There's no way they would have been up there saying, man, we want Pat Mahomes to throw the ball. No way. Or we want Tom to throw the ball. Or we want Joe Burrow to throw the ball. No, they wouldn't have said that. They would have said, you know, let's get it out of their hands.
Well, I don't know. Tom, in year two, you think people were fearing him? Because this is Purdy's second fucking year.
5 minutes, absolutely. We saw the tape. Musa Muhammad looked over to Steve Smith and said, man, them boys got Tom Brady over there. And that was they just won against the or they lost the year before and not made the playoffs.
That was year four. I'm talking about year two, in 2001. Were people fearing Tom Brady's arm talent? No.
No. Okay. No way. Yeah, but I'm saying, but he had a chance to prove it in the Super Bowl, and he did.
So what did Brock Purdy do in this game to dissuade you? Like, what did he do wrong?
He lost. If he won, I'd have been close.
He lost to Patrick.
Brady beat the MVP. He beat the MVP of the league, did he not?
Yep.
Mr. Bag of Groceries? Yeah, he beat those. I'm not hearing that. But figure it out, bro. I didn't say he'd have a bad game. I just think that he left something to be desired. Once again, when you got people saying, we wanted you to throw the ball, there's a lack of respect there. That's all I'm saying. That's all. That means they didn't fear him at all. It was they thought he was a joke. And that to me is wild. And I wonder if they move on from him at some point. Because we know that Shanahan
hates quarterbacks more than Bill did.
No, what I was going to say, well, that may be true. He also has a, in the words of Alicia Keys, he has a teenage love affair with Kirk Cousins.
And I feel like that's so ridiculous. But
it's not ridiculous. He loves Kirk Cousins. So I wouldn't be surprised if Kirk Cousins is in the San Francisco uniform come May.
Let me ask you a question. Okay, first of all, why would they pay Kirk Cousins $40 million?
I just said to you, to me, he loves the man. It's irrational. It's wild.
Okay, I'm going to disregard that for right now. Do you think, answer your own question. Was Cam Newton right? By the way, Cam Newton, the guy that couldn't throw while he was here, the guy that when he got to the Super Bowl, he cared so much about his team that he wouldn't even jump on the fumble.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's all facts. You know, put the MVP there too.
How did he do the Super Bowl though? How are his stats? Was he a manager of that game?
Terrible. And maybe that's why he knows. Maybe that's why he knows. He said, if it takes one to know one. He said, I folded, so I know what it looks like when someone's folded. Maybe he knows. So that's real. That's fair. Maybe he knows. Like I said, he got murdered for that comment. I was just like, well, the guys that he's talking about, you know, they kind of proved him right throughout the playoffs, but especially Dak, my God, that was wild. So, you know, like I said, it takes one to know one. So maybe he knew.
So do you think that Brock Purdy's a game manager? And also, again,
I think right now, yes. In a few years, we won't be saying that. But I think right now, yes. But in a few years, no, we won't be saying that. I think that he'll continue to get better and really become, you know, like I said, an even better player overall, whether it's from, you know, throwing, running when he needs to, stuff like that. Like, I think that he'll, as the game continues to slow down even more for him, you know, we'll see more of his talent. But right now, yes.
Do you think, okay, just not to beat this fucking dead horse, but it might be the last time we talk about football for a while.
Right.
Does a game manager overcome the obstacles that Brock Purdy did in the postseason this year with Green Bay and with Detroit? Like, game managers don't win games like that.
I think that he had the signature moments that, you know, my rant that I went on a few months ago about wanting a quarterback to have a signature moment. I think that's what happened there. He had a signature moment where we said, okay, we hadn't really seen that from him, but then it was like, oh, okay, like now it's on his shoulders completely. Like, we got to win because of him. That's where we saw finally this playoff. We was like, okay, they won some games because of his play, not because of McCaffrey, not because of Debo. They won, and they won because of him, not in spite of him. So, yeah. So, for this playoff run, yeah, for sure, we saw some signature moments that hopefully he grows upon going forward.
Yeah, I just feel bad for them because, you know, McCaffrey's going to get hurt next year. Like, we're due.
We'll see. But what I will say about that before we get into, you know, Kansas City's odds for next year, when the trade happened that he went to San Fran from Carolina, man, you know, he's basically played in every game just about since he's been there. I said, I compared it to when Vince Carter got traded from Toronto to New Jersey, and Vince had a back and his knee was hurting him all the time and the migraines, you name it. It was basically operation on Vince Carter. Vince Carter gets to New Jersey. He's dunking on Alonzo Mourning. He's dunking on Shaq. He's dunking. And it's just like, whoa, where did this come from, Vince? You just said he was hurt. So I just feel like when guys were in better situations, they all of a sudden get healthy.
So, yeah, there's something to that.
So that's just I'm like, maybe that's just what it was. You get into a better situation. Carolina was on his way out. They weren't as good as they were, you know, early in his career. So it's like, you know what? You get to a better situation. You start winning. All of a sudden, you turn into Wolverine. So, you know, maybe that's what it was. But who knows? Who knows? We don't know. Football's a violent sport, and at any given time, it could be over. So, but hopefully that's not the case because he's a key part of their offense. So.
100%. They don't get to the Super Bowl without him.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, but I was telling my boy that was in San Francisco, I was like, you know, I said, if y'all want to get rid of IU, you know, I know a place for him. That would be awesome. I said, I know a place. Like I said, it worked out with Kendrick Bourne too before the Matt Patricia bullshit. So I said, I'll take him. I would take him in a heartbeat.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. Who wouldn't?
You know, but I joked. I was like, well, if we get IU, that means we're going to get Jaden Daniels since they play together at Arizona State.
I'm also okay with that.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, yeah, put, you know, feed me more. Well, speaking of feeding more, Kansas City is on the verge of doing something that we have never seen at the NFL level, which is the opportunity to have a three-peat. The last time it was a chance was our New England Patriots back in 2003-04. We lost in the second round to Denver, I believe, because they beat Carolina.
That's the champ Bailey, Ben Watson.
Why I had to play the game. Maybe to play that season, honestly. You know, that was incredible. But nevertheless, you know, that attempt failed in a division round. So early predictions, do you think they will three-peat? And then if they're gonna do that, who do you think they should bring on to help do that? Because once again, no 2 years are the same. So I would think adding on talent would help obviously accomplish the goal.
Yeah, listen. I think they can three-peat. I think that we're living in an era right now where it is Patrick Mahomes' league and everyone else can just exist, right? There's only Burrow that can go head-to-head with them. As for your guy that if they could bring in, you know, Mike Evans' contract is up. He might want to win another ring, and he'll take a lot less money to go win another one. There's just so many options now because people will go there at half the price or less just to win a ring. So think about every star player in the league right now that's maybe a veteran that hasn't won and wants to win. And they're going to go to Kansas City, you know?
Yeah, I mean, well, this is on defense, but I wouldn't be surprised if I saw Reddick as a Chief by March. And now that he talked about he wants out and they're giving him permission to seek a trade.
Yep.
Don't be surprised if he's a Kansas City Chief by March.
Yeah. I mean,
so him. That's crazy.
You got to re-sign Chris Jones, right? And I hope that they do. But I don't know what their cap situation is going to be like. But the cap is fucking bogus anyway. Like you can fudge that whenever you want.
Right. That's why. Yeah.
they could just look at the top 10 free agents this year. And just think, all right, who hasn't won a ring and wants to win one? And they'll probably go to Kansas City.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. Like I said, I love Mike Evans. He's never had a receiver like Mike Evans. And people say, oh, it's like, ever. He's never had Mike Evans is Mr. Reliable. Like,
yep.
In day one, and people talk about D-Hop who came out the same. I'm sorry. Mike Evans, you didn't watch Mike Evans because
also D-Hop.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So, which I was surprised that didn't happen this year. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm surprised you didn't go and do that this year and just say, all right, let me go get the ring. So he still had a decent season this year in D-Hop. So he had 65 catches with that QB carousel over there in Tennessee. So, yeah, I mean, Evans, Pittman, you know, T. Higgins.
I don't know if T. Higgins would take less to go there. So I think that they're
Everybody else won't like, yo, we've been there. Well, Pittman's young too, but I'm like, everybody else is like, well, okay, well, I've been there, done that. I've made my money in the league. Now it's time to add on to the legacy. And even if they didn't win it, right, you're thinking like, well, damn, I'm getting my numbers up if I'm looking to get to the Hall of Fame because I get to play, you know, with the guy that can, you know, expand plays. And that's the thing I meant to mention earlier too. Although this guy's a little more than like Lamar is a more dynamic runner. Josh Allen's more of a power runner. You know, Burrow's not someone that does much for his legs, but Patrick Mahomes' scramble is the most devastating play in this league.
Like, because of when he does it.
And it's not even close. Like you have, it's like, oh, I got the flat covered. I got the zig route covered. I got the post route covered. And everybody's covered. You got two to a man. There's no QB spy. And he sinks off for 7 or 8. Now a second and three. They toss it to Pacheco, first down. Play action, Kelsey, 15 yards. Play action again, Rashee Rice, 18 yards. Pitch right to Pacheco, 6 yards. Play action again, Kelsey, 19 yards, touchdown, Kansas City. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, that fourth and one in overtime.
Like, it's wild. It's wild.
That was the fourth. That was when they had to tie up with the field goal. That was unbelievable. Like, just rolls out to the right and then picks up eight. And then there's another third down in the red zone, and he picks up like 15 yards. He's crucial. Like, you're right when you say he's the most devastating runner, because he doesn't do it often, but when he does it, he's going to get it, and there's nothing you can do about it.
It was wild. What makes it worse, you can't and you can't touch him. So, you know, we learned that last year. And like, it was the AFC Championship last year against Cincinnati. It was. When it's like, if you get near him.
Well, he was out of bounds.
He wasn't out of bounds. But they don't even look to tap, even, touch football with him. Because it's like, you can't even, if you breathe near him, they're throwing a 15-yard flag. It's unbelievable. And once again, I know, because we saw for 20 years up here. You got near our guy, they would fly too. So, but our guy wasn't a threat to run. He just picked you apart from.
Tell that to Urlacher.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. That's always fun. I watch that highlight about three or four times a year. That's fun. But yeah. I mean, listen. Nevertheless, they have, you know, they got a chance. They got a chance to 3-peat. I don't think they do. I think, you know, somebody will get them in the end. Who knows? Once again, at least I think that can do that in Cincinnati if they're healthy, if Burrow's healthy. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But want to end on some fun. The halftime show. You know, Usher, man, comes up there and does his thing. So what would be your thoughts on the halftime show? Did you enjoy it? And who do you want to see for next year?
Yeah, well, how do you not enjoy it, right? Because the minute that, first of all, I completely forgot about My Boo. So when I saw Alicia Keys, I was like, oh, damn. Like, now I remember this. Like, this is, it sucks that that's 18 or 20 years old. That really ages you.
Yeah, right.
Like, you forget that we used to be like, why are these old people on the halftime show? And they're like, when they're 10 or 15 years out of their prime. And now we're the people enjoying those people on the halftime show.
Right, exactly, right.
But I thought it was, listen, I thought the homage to your boy, Mr. Peter Pan himself, I thought he did a lot of great tributes to Michael Jackson in the halftime show. I think Usher is dual talented, right? Like, he's a great singer, obviously a phenomenal dancer. And you just forget all the hits. Like, that's the cool part about these halftime shows is, like, going into it, I was like, Usher, like, I don't know. I don't really think I know that many songs. And then I knew every single song.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, because I was wondering if he was going to go, like, more of, like, the pop route, which I knew he had to incorporate some of that. I love that he opened up with Caught Up, because that Confessions album, and Hey Eliza, my high school, we went to school for years, but we went to high school together too, but you took my Confessions CD, if you don't remember, we was on the bus, he was like, oh, at that time, for those that's going to watch on YouTube later on, you know, you used to have a CD, like, booklet, right, and you know, you had your CDs lined up. And it was like, I remember getting the Confessions album. And I was like, oh, let me listen to it. And, you know, listen to the car. And then I never fully got it back. Like, I had to borrow it from you just to get it back type thing. So, but yeah, Caught Up. It was cool. He did Bad Girl. Yeah. He did a snippet of Nice and Slow. Because I was like, whoa, I was like, you can't do Nice and Slow on the NFL show. Like, that's not going to.
Nope.
But I was like, I'm glad that they gave him a snippet to say 7 o'clock on the dot, I was in the drop top cruising this way. That I was like, don't go further than that, because you can't say nothing else besides that. Oh, the only song I was hoping they did, but once again, it would have been corporate. Excuse me, when I saw Lil Jon and Lil Chris, I was hoping for Lovers and Friends, but I was like, they can't do Lovers and Friends and NFL show. But other than that, I was pleased. Jermaine Dupri was out there looking like a Quaker, and I couldn't
believe Dupree.
I said, what are you doing? Like, you knew that many people were going to be at the show, and you came out there looking like Wednesday Addams? Like, what are you doing? What are you doing, Jermaine Dupri? Like, you went from Welcome to Atlanta to that? Like, come on. Oh,
I mean, it's been 20 years, bro.
Yeah, but come on, like you, from Brooklyn to Atlanta, where the players play, we ride on things like every day, big, like come, like you can't go from that to. I was highly disappointed in the outfit. Once again, he wrote the best album of all time, or from our time, R&B wise, and Confessions. So we're forever thankful. But it's like, bro, like, yeah, I just come on. There's so many of the outfits you could have went with, bro. I just, to me, and they were flaming his ass up on Twitter too. I thought it was great. But Super Bowl's in New Orleans next year. Who would you want to see?
So I have one that I know won't happen, but I really wanted to. Give me Akon. Because if you want to talk about a guy that has songs that you forget that you know, it's him. Because you know every single fucking Akon song.
Right. Even the ones he wrote.
I used to, right? You can attest to this. I used to drown our old college radio station in Locked Up. And we were a rock station. I was blasting it. I'd love that. I still know all the words.
Yeah.
Also, like, this is going to be, like, this is pretty white of me. I'd love a Hootie and the Blowfish halftime show. Like, give me Darius, give me Hootie. Like, give me one of those 90s rock bands, too. Like, do it. A throwback to the 90s, because everyone knows Hootie. Whether you like it or you don't, you all know it. All fucking know it. But New Orleans, I mean, I don't know. I'm actually surprised that Carrie Underwood hasn't done it. I mean, she does all of the...
It would have been hilarious to have her this year and Tony Romo be there. That would have been fucking hilarious.
Never thought about that.
Yeah, I'm a jerk like that, but I think that would be great.
You are bitter.
Super bitter. So Akon would be cool. Hootie would be cool. It's New Orleans. How we not have Lil Wayne? Like,
you're gonna lose me here.
I don't know if he can remember the songs. That's the problem. I don't know if he can remember the songs because we know all the songs. We know them.
I know.
No, but you know, you've heard Go DJ. You know Lollipop.
I know Lollipop because that's the reason I stopped listening to hip hop.
Oh wow. Okay. You've listened to the hip hop system. Stop it. Fire me. Like this song. And it's not only so. I'm like, they got to do something in that line. But yeah, if they did Akon or I wonder if they would do like Cash Money as a whole. It'd be like Lil Wayne, Juvenile. Like that would be cool. But if they were gonna go the more commercial route, I would do Akon mixed with T-Pain.
Oh, I was gonna say I'm in a big
That would be cool.
Kick right now.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Because
you know all the hits too. Bartender, Buy You a Drink, Up and Down. I'm in love. Well, you can't do Element of Stripper. I'm in love with a stripper, but you know, I'm Sprung.
But you know, it's probably gonna be like fucking Miley Cyrus or Britney Spears or something.
I'd be here for Britney, honestly, but not Miley. I'd be here for Britney though.
Well, Britney's from Louisiana.
Yeah, I'd be here for Britney if that was the case. Yeah, I'd be here for that. Hit me, baby, one more time. I'd be here for that. You know, once again, is she in her right mind to do it? Because if they're not, then I don't want you up there. But that's how I feel about Wayne. Like, Wayne would be great, but it's just like, bro, like, if you can't remember, you know, Get Right or Get Left shit, Get Right. If you can't remember that on there, like, I don't want to see it. So, you know, we'll just leave it at that. But either way, it was a great halftime show. You know, Jay-Z and them have been killing it since they've been taking over the entertainment side of it. The last few years, so we'll see who's next. But you know, like I said, they got to get it right because, like I said, you know, they've been throwing out some bangers the last few years. So take our suggestions. We have that. Either way, get somebody that's a legend out there. So, well, these two legends are about to sign off. As always, we thank y'all for listening. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. You know, follow us wherever you live. You get your podcast. So. He's Mike Margangelo. I'm Hollywood Ray Sean Buchanan. Until next time, we'll see you. Peace.
Introducing the Deep Leadership Podcast. Leadership is a people business. That's the philosophy of your podcast host, John Rennie. As a former submarine officer who spent 22 years leading businesses in corporate America before starting his own manufacturing business, he knows that leadership matters.
Leadership matters.
Deep Leadership is real-world, actionable leadership advice from John and his expert guests. Become a leader worth following. Subscribe today.
Electricast.
Hey there, I'm DC. I host the Rock Podcast, Back to the Arena, The Interviews. It's about a 30-minute podcast where I talk one-on-one with a band who has released new music. You can find us on all the best podcast sites like Spotify, Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, and more. If you're a rock fan like me, subscribe today to Back to the Arena, The Interview.
Electricast. Electricast.